Dr. Emmett L. Brown here. Through the wonder of video spectronomy, I'm recording an amazing phenomenon. McDonald's Back to the Future Hamburger Happy Meal for $1.99. Analysis shows it comes with one of four toys, like Marty McFly, some old guy in my DeLorean.
Holy bovine, is he familiar.
Switching to X-ray mode reveals one toy each week when you buy your kids a $1.99 McDonald's Happy Meal. Perhaps I should forego further documentations and just have lunch.
What you want is what you get at McDonald's today.
Dear Michael, my name is Ken Davidson. I work in the Hill Valley District Attorney's Office, and I've been assigned to review your case. I'm writing to you because I strongly, strongly suggest you stop sending letters to that woman you claim to be your mother. We've already had the police involved once, and I just think, as your court-appointed attorney, it is my duty to make sure that you follow the law of the land and no longer harass this woman. This woman has no children. She has no family. She is not your mother. You need to stop. I can't believe I'm typing on a typewriter, but that was specifically how I was told to best communicate with you. I hope this message finds you well, both mentally and emotionally, and I hope you stop writing to this woman you keep calling mother. Yours legally, Ken Davidson, Public Defender, Hill Valley Courthouse, March 13th, 2021. Now we need to find a stamp.
1, 2, 3.
Marchy McFly.
Every day in March I'll be doing the same thing, watching favorite movie. Back to the Future once a day all month long. 31 straight days for me. Great Scott, this is heavy. It's called Marchy McFly.
Follow along with my podcast. Did I mention there's a podcast?
It's called Marchy McFly.
Won't you please check out my podcast? To my podcast.
It's called Marchy McFly.
The podcast is called Chicken Tarry. But this is
called Marchy
McFly. All right, fellas. I'm afraid you're just too darn loud. Next, please. Where's the next group, please?
What day is it?
Saturday. It's Saturday and I watch Back to the Future once again.
Everyone, sing along.
Saturday is a day on the weekend where I watch Back to the Future again. Woo!
Can you feel it? Can you feel it in the air? The excitement? The excitement one man feels when he is here again for 13 days in a row, the 13th straight day, lucky 13. And with that comes, of course, me watching my favorite movie once again for the 13th day. It's Saturday, and it was a good day, a very good day. Why? Because I had a calzone for dinner. True story, chicken parm.
If you live in the Merrimack Valley area, there's a place called Bada Bing. It was a delicious. But that is not the pure excitement of the day. It's not even watching Back to the Future again. The real excitement for me today was going to CVS and getting, not for me, but getting my wife her first COVID vaccine. I didn't get it for her. Well, actually, I did make the appointment. I drove her there. She did all the rest. It went inside. She said it was very easy. And I'm excited. I'm still not able to get it. I told her that there was a way for her to pass on the vaccine properties to me, but she called my bluff and just laughed in my face. I'm not going to go into any more detail than that. You can put two and two together. But yes, very happy because the day started with Back to the Future and the day ends with Back to the Future. And in the middle was filled with, you know, that old saying, vaccine and calzones makes the day very good. Don't know why I'm singing the Jurassic Park song right now. That just sort of happened. Very weird. But I'm here. Day 13, and I've already gone 6 minutes, and I haven't said anything original or new yet. I haven't even talked about Back to the Future yet. That beginning, the little opening all the way back to the beginning, was a 1992 McDonald's ad. So all the movies already been out. It looks like it was for the cartoon, the Back to the Future animated series, which, surprisingly, I don't think I've ever seen an episode. 1992, at that point, I am, what am I? 14, 15 years old, so I'm way too cool for cartoons. Cartoons? Well, cartoons. I'm a guy. 1992, I want to watch Sipowitz. I want to watch John Kelly. I don't watch those stinking cartoons. But now I find myself watching Punky Brewster and Henry Danger. So, you know, it all comes full circle. But the reason I left that ad in, there were other ads, and they mentioned, like, Doc's kids, Jules and Vern. But that's for a different movie. It's for a different time. And this is not, has nothing to do with the original Back to the Future, although I do want to touch on Jules and Vern, because I want to talk about a little something today that I literally did not think of, did not write notes about until right now. I remember back in college, my whole thinking was, okay, I've got a computer here. I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to write Back to the Future 4. I'm sure I'm one of thousands of people who started, I'm one of tens of thousands of people who thought they could write this or tried writing it or just did it on their own. And I'm one of the many who started and didn't finish, which is the story of my life, starting to write something and never finishing it. But I remember the gist of the story was Marty was, we weren't quite in the future. This is the late 90s. So it was probably going to be around the late 90s time. And Doc came back to him at that time. Specifically, why that time? Because he thought Marty was more mature enough and Marty had children now and he could relate because Jules and Vern had stolen the time machine or a time machine because they had the... Doc kept building. He turned the train into a time machine. I know I'm talking about the other sequels, but this is more about me. So Jules and Vern stole one of the time machines and went back to the roaring 20s. So that was going to be the time 30 years prior to 55. So we've had 55, 85, 2015. We're going to go back 30 more years to 1925. And it was going to be like, whatever the 2020s were. I feel like it's Boardwalk Empire and Flappers. Like Newsies and Boardwalk Empire. That's my whole knowledge of the 20s. And it was when my grandparents were born. So that was my idea for Back to the Future 4. And so Doc and Marty were like going back together. And they were looking for the kids. And maybe they'd bounce around because the kids would try to stay one step ahead of them. But Doc would figure out using residual clues where they were going next. Oh, I'm thinking maybe I should write this. We're getting really good, isn't it? I just wanted to talk about that specifically, about my creative juices. Ooh, that's gross. And how I almost, or I thought about at least, doing some Back to the future writing of my own. But this reminds me also, I want to talk about a couple things I found online, which are pretty cool, that are Back to the Future related. You know, there are so many creative people on the internet who make things and try to make fun things and adventures. And adventures, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm waiting for this video to start playing. So that's why I'm like, okay, I'm rambling. There is a YouTube channel called Lost in the Movies. And there's a video called Four Times Back to the Future, Welcome to Hill Valley. And it's just 3.5 minutes long. And the most recent comment was from me. Oh, I will like it. And cool. So I'm going to put a note. I'm going to put the link to this in the show notes. It is just a kind of a cool edited video that this guy did showing Hill Valley in 85, 55, 2015, and 1885. And just kind of them. It's a video tribute to Hill Valley. And it was just kind of well done. Showing, you know, when Marty sees the clock tower, showing when Marty, it's like showing Marty in the similar areas of Hill Valley in the four different time periods. So I thought, you know, that was pretty cool. I was impressed by it. And I will put a link to that in the show notes. So if you go to your podcast app and click on it, you will see in the notes a link to Four Times Back to the Future. And the other video that I want to talk about, it's not a video, I should say, it is from something, I've never heard of this website called CG Society, which looks like it's a computer graphics society. I don't know. It looks like it's where digital artists can post things they've made. So this person, I don't know anything about this person, except their username is, or maybe it's their actual name, Erin Budak, ErenBudak, and it's that username, .cgsociety.org. And they are a digital artist. They've made, looks like a bunch of different things, but I'm going to put a link in the show notes, just something I thought was pretty cool. And it was a kind of a digital recreation of Hill Valley. And it looks like it's the 1955 Hill Valley. It has the time machine driving through it. We see like the Hill Valley Stationer. We see the Western Auto, Ask Mr. Foster Travel Service, the clock tower with the yard, the dedicated, there's a World War I plaque. The nice Hill Valley, the Texaco station. It looks like a weird, a mixture, because it looks like it's a little old, but it also looks like it's definitely the 55 stuff. And it almost looks like they did it. I would be cool if it was like three dimensional where you could actually drag, you know, go through it like virtual reality, but it's like the downtown area. There's the theaters. There's the, there's all these signs. It seemed pretty accurate to the actual film. And then he did a couple shots in the rain with the DeLorean hitting the wire and going, you know, catching fire and getting the 1.21 gigawatts. Oh, there's Roy's Records. I don't know if there's the cafe, Lou's Cafe. But I thought it was really pretty cool done. It looks almost like it would be like in a video game. You would see the Hill Valley. So I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes too. I thought, I'm sharing cool Back to the Future things that people made. And I don't know if they made it for a class. I don't know if they made it just for fun, but it looks like it was a lot of work put into this. So I thought that was a pretty cool. And now it's time to look at some notes. So one of the things I noticed, and this has nothing to do with Back to the Future as much as it has to do with 1985, I always like to see, oh, how much was gas then? And when they showed the Texaco station, and I think it was when they showed the Toyota, gas was $1.09. So I looked up, and I found this on energy.gov. In 1985, the average retail price of gas was $1.12. It looks like this was made in 2015. So it's saying in today's dollar, that would be $2.14 would be the average gauge gas of price. But it was $1.12 at that time, which it actually dropped like below a dollar for the next few years. So it seemed like it all kind of stuck around that dollar. I'm trying to think, like, when was the last time gas was that low? The actual $1.09 that it was in Hill Valley, 1985. And my goodness, this just goes to 2015. So it's not that accurate. Well, I mean, it hasn't been that low since. But 2004, gas was $1.88. And then it jumped to $2.30 the following year. That is a huge jump. The last time it was low enough like that it would hit $1.06. Oh my goodness. It was $1.06 in 1998. The same year that I tried to write Back to the Future 4. Much like Marty McFly's life and most Seinfeld episodes, it's all connected. So it's been 24 hours since I last did an episode, and some of these notes I'm thinking, did I talk to them? I'm not sure if I spoke of these notes, so you may hear some of them for 2 days in a row, which, you know, is why this show is as popular as it is. But couple things. I wonder if Marty ever found out how much Doc risked his life to make sure that the lightning strike would travel down to the DeLorean. I mean, first of all, climbed to the top of that clock, no problem, wasn't afraid of heights. Then he's hanging by the clock hands. Then he's hanging by the wire. Then he's like, he literally slides down the wire just to plug it in time. Then I think he got struck by lightning. And, you know, Doc's like, at the end, he's like, "You're alive." And Marty should have been like, Doc should have been like, "Yeah, but I almost died in 55. Did you see that? That was crazy, man." But I wonder if he probably told him later. He's like, when they were driving back to the house, he's like, "You know, Marty, it's a long time ago, 30 years, but you know that bad back I have? It's because actually in 1955, I had to slide down a wire to plug that stupid plug back in. And they get struck by lightning. That's why my hair went from that beautiful blonde hair to bright white. I did it for you, kid. So, you know. I mean, but then again, thank you for telling me not to get shot. So I guess we're even. I mean, okay, right? At the end of the movie. You know, I think it was, I don't know if it was Bob Gale or Zemeckis, but they said, you know, they never like really thought that they were going to do a sequel they never planned on a sequel. That ending was just kind of a fun little stinger. There was no to be continued. And they always say if we were going to actually do a sequel, we would not have put Jennifer in the car because that complicated things. And oh, did it complicate things? Because think about it. The first thing they did was, you know what? That's for the sequel. We're not going to talk about the sequel. We'll talk about that next March. But what I wanted to talk about was at that end, Jennifer goes to kiss Marty, and then she says nothing when Doc shows up. And just today, I just watched her, and she just has this look like, "Oh, what? Huh? What? Wait, that's the Doc? Why is he dressed like, what's the DeLorean? What does he mean, kids? Time travel? Assholes? Roads, we're flying, what?" She said none of those words, but that is what I hear while she's kind of just staring blindly or blankly. She just kind of did look a little, huh? Like a deer in the spotlight there, or deer in the headlights. Did I talk about the letter? I feel like I might have talked about it, but, the letter that Doc ripped up and then later taped back together. Did he have to tape the whole thing back together? Like, if he just kind of taped the letters from the beginning, "Dear Doc" or "Dr. Brown," And then Marty, he really didn't have to put the top and the bottom, the whole thing back together. But if you remember, now see, you think, oh, that's a little plot hole. But I'm going to tell you, the doc doesn't do anything half-assed. You remember, you know, I'm sorry, forgive me for not doing this model to scale or painting it or finishing it. Like, he had no reason he had to do that. That's the way the doc is. So if he's going to put this letter back together, he is going to tape the whole thing meticulously perfect. Then he's going to keep it in his pocket and wait 30 years. That day, he's like, oh, I got to find the letter. I mean, good thing he found it. Stick it in his pocket. He's like, I'm going to surprise the hell out of Marty when he gets back. I can't wait. I can't wait. This is the big moment. Let's hope they don't accidentally, you know, change things and something in the past changed and now they shoot me in the head. I don't know. But, you know, like that, that's just the thought of why did he tape the whole thing back together? And then I realized, wait, he's the doc. Of course he did.
Poverty. Crime. Strange scientists, graffiti, pornography, mysterious dead terrorists. Tell me, is this the Hill Valley you grew up in? Mayor Goldie Wilson would rather take your tax dollars and spend it on a clock tower. Mayor Goldie Wilson cares more about his gold tooth than he does that your children are walking by a dirty bookstore after school every day. He says progress is his middle name. He couldn't even have an original campaign slogan. Goldie Wilson, not for Hill Valley anymore.
Paid for by Hill Valley citizens to elect Red Thomas Jr.
I'm Red Thomas Jr. I voiced my own ad, and you can bet your ass I approve this message.
Oh, the gloves are off in a 36-year-old political campaign for Hill Valley mayor. I wonder who's going to take it. I wonder if Mayor Goldie Wilson won. Maybe they have that in the cartoon. I gotta find that cartoon. I'm sure it's available on YouTube. But yeah, you know what, my friends? I think I'm done. I think I've accomplished the required podcasting requirements, the required requirements, for lack of better words. For lack of better notes, and for lack of better... I almost said penetration when I meant to say preparation. And then I told you I said penetration, so it's just as bad anyway. Oh boy, I put my foot in my mouth, and with that, I'm done. I'm not editing that out, because it's funny. I still have notes, but I'm saving some of them. Some of them I need to do a little more fleshing out on, but I have time. We're not even at the halfway point. If you think I'm stretching things now, you wait. Now it's Saturday night, then tomorrow, from my understanding, is Sunday. Then I'm on what you would call vacation. I have the entire week off, and hopefully I can schedule some time to have some friends join me. If you're fans of Joggist, get ready for more of that shit. I apologize for swearing. It's 9 p.m. and, you know, it's the witching hour. It's the devil's hour. So with that, I say adieu, because I'm going to adieu this again tomorrow. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Geek Mentality. The website is fansnotexperts.com. The Facebook page is fansnotexperts. And this song right here, well, this song is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality's what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe, cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time, and I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and Please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fab's not experts.
What are you looking at, butthead?